It is good to be with you. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles or your electronic devices, as it were, to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. We misled you a little bit in the worship folder. We're going a little different way today. And I feel it is important for you to know how much I appreciate being here today. In Orange, knowing that it was 1 degree above zero this morning in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Having turned the page on another strange year with so many perplexities, challenging uncertainties, a question that often I find myself asking me is, how would God have all of this function in my life? Assuming God's sovereignty, trusting in His promises, in reliance upon His grace, how do we move ahead without wasting what God is doing? Perhaps you'll be encouraged to know that the Old Testament prophet Daniel, whose life story was marked by incredible losses, dangers, toils, perplexities, had the very same question. What will come of all this? And perhaps what is more encouraging is that the Lord Himself supplied Daniel with an answer. And God gives Daniel this answer in Daniel chapter 12. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 13. Please follow along. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. And he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, and this is really the important question right here, okay? Oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. This is God's word. It's intended for your faith and your joy, your perseverance and hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have communicated yourself to us through your word. And I pray that you would feed us and nourish us spiritually with food this world knows not of. God, hear us. We have similar questions to Daniel, and pray that you would reveal yourself with emphatic encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Did I mention how much I appreciate being in Orange, California on the third Sunday of January versus being in Sioux Falls, South Dakota today? It really is a good thing to me. But it was another Sunday in January that my wife and I had been visiting a sister Sovereign Grace Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And as we were preparing to drive back home to Sioux Falls, we paused since the weather forecast was for a significant winter storm. Maybe you will not be able to relate to these kinds of things, but we could stay put, but given the severity of the forecast, it seemed that if we did stay put, we could be stuck in the Twin Cities for 2 to 3 more days. That was not a good option. If we chose to head back, however, we'd most certainly be heading into some heavy snow. So went online, checked out the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and here's what it said. Driving conditions in southwest Minnesota, and that's right where we're going, southwest Minnesota to Sioux Falls. Driving conditions in southwest Minnesota, challenging. Challenging. My thought process at that point was, you know, if a storm, I'm a Minnesotan, so if a storm is really bad and driving conditions are not recommended, the Department of Transportation says so. Don't drive. In fact, when it's really bad, it says roads closed. So in my mind, challenging? We can do challenging. And so off we went, and oh my, we had not gone 30 to miles down the road, and we met snow. And the further we went, the snow was heavier, the wind was windier, and eventually we were creeping along the freeway at no more than 20 miles per hour. There were stretches where I could not see the hood of the car, and every now and then I would notice dim lights over there and sometimes over there in the ditch next to me. And let's just say it was challenging. I was so totally ready to tap out and just get off the road, hunker down in a hotel, but we could not even see the exit signs or the off-ramps. And what was normally a 3.5-hour trip took 6 hours, but we did make it home. And my muscles were so tight, I was like a robot for a week. You know, it was very difficult. When we know what's ahead, when we know what's ahead of us is challenging, what do we do? What do you do when the forecast for the future is certainly challenging? Daniel chapter 12 opens with these rather ominous words. Verse 1, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. Now in Daniel chapters 1 through 6, those of you who are familiar with this book, it contains some, you know, kind of cool, familiar stories, you know, fiery furnace, lion's den. But from Daniel chapter 7 onward, the author has the reader on the edge of our seats with visions and forecasts, if you will, of the future, years, decades, even centuries into the future. And much of this forecast is, shall we say, challenging. Brutal kings and kingdoms rising and falling, persecution for God's people. And really, though, one can logically, perhaps even instinctively, generate some sensible personal application. Until you get to chapter 12, there is no practical instruction as to what to do. But in Daniel chapter 12, two questions are raised. In verse 6, some anonymous brave soul dares to ask. Actually, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this side of the bank of the stream, one on that bank of the stream, and someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, swore by himself who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time." Totally clears everything up. "And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished." And then there's this great statement, "I heard, but I did not understand." We're right there with you, bro. So Daniel asks for some clarification. In verse 8, "Then I said, 'Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?' He said, 'Go your way, Daniel.'" Then again in verse 13, "Go your way till the end." When the forecast is foreboding, and when the future holds mysteries and challenges and troubles like we've never seen before, what does one do? Go your way. Go your way till the end. Oh, though we pray that 2022 may hold out some fairer outcomes than 2020 or even 2021, we know, right, the trajectory of our social, cultural, economical situation, it appears unstable still. The Gallup poll this last Wednesday, I read, says that at the beginning of 2021, the Democrats' approval percentage was 59%. And at the end of 2021, the Republicans were now the favorable majority at a whopping 55%. So we're essentially still a 50-50 nation. More variants of the coronavirus, divided perspectives on whether or not to be vaccinated, a workforce that can't seem to gain any real traction, culture wars with no peace in sight. A storm has been building for some time and is upon us, and things are going to be more and more challenging. So what are we supposed to do? What do we do with this? How's this supposed to function in our lives? Do we hunker down and wait it out till the storm passes? How long is that going to be? How serious is it going to get? And the Lord's word to Daniel really is instructive. Go your way. Go your way till the end. What does that mean? What did it mean for Daniel? What does it mean for us? And in order to answer that question, I think it's helpful to remind ourselves of the kind of man that Daniel was. So just start for a moment with his longevity. At the time of the exile, Daniel was likely in his teens. According to Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, he's referred to as a youth. And if he lives into the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia, who in the first year of his reign decreed that the Jews could return to Jerusalem from exile, that's at least 70 more years. And then according to Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, another 3 years have passed. So we're talking about a man who is living and still walking with God into his 90s. Right? If my math is right. Now, what makes a 90-something-year-old man even more amazing than just being 90 is Daniel's resilience. I mean, think of the incredible transitions through which Daniel had lived. As a teenager, he is taken by force from his home, from his family, from his own country, by this Babylonian killing machine. He is relocated in a foreign country with a foreign language and a foreign cultural norms and values and customs and food and religion and on and on. And think about this. He endured similar transitions two more times. Though he may not necessarily have been geographically relocated, he lived through the fall of the Chaldean Empire to the Medes. He later lived through the fall of the Medes to the Persians. I don't know about you, but any transition is difficult. Selling a house and moving across town can wear you out. Losing your job can feel unsettling. Relocating from state to state. We've done this a few times. It was like a near-death experience for me. loss of or separation from a dearly loved family member. Or just becoming an empty nester. It can be painful and disequilibrating. So try to imagine what it's like to endure being relocated from one's home country, not by choice, to resettle in a land, a climate, a culture where language, laws are different, make no sense. And Daniel experienced some measure of that kind of massive personal upheaval, not once, not twice, but three times. And on top of that, these transitions were clearly attended by just nearly unspeakable trauma. I mean, if you dare to discover what kind of psychopath King Nebuchadnezzar really was, who started this whole thing, just read the last 15 to 20 chapters of the book of Jeremiah, or read through the book of Lamentations. When Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, he burned their cities, and he burned their houses to the ground. And he slaughtered families. And he murdered babies and pregnant mothers and made the fathers watch. And he put out people's eyes and humiliated them by parading them in the streets for the horror of others to look at. And then Darius the Mede, he was no lamb. He murdered Belshazzar and literally fed those who resisted him to lions. Might make for cool Sunday school stories, but you can be certain that being torn to pieces and eaten by a wild animal was an unimaginably horrific way to die. And Daniel happened to be one forced to face the emotionally scarring possibility of that happening to him. Friends, Daniel survived nearly 80 of his 90-something years as a cultural, social, political, religious outsider. His spiritual values, his moral convictions were perceived as hostile to the times and to the situations in which he lived. And listen, Daniel did not merely survive, he thrived. That's probably why we sing that little song, Dare to be a Daniel, right? He experienced astonishing favor. He was entrusted with remarkable influence in relation to some of the most wicked, brutal, morally bankrupt leaders to ever roam the face of the earth. Now you might think, well, you know, he's 90-something. At least he doesn't have to worry about having a job. You know, doesn't have to worry about his business going under. Doesn't have to worry about, you know, some terminal illness at that point in his life. Now, his hardest days are behind him. You might think that, unless you're between 80 and 90. Because getting old doesn't make life easier. Challenges don't get less. They just get different. And with more challenges, greater challenges, trouble such as never has been still on the horizon, what message does God send to sustain the enduring faith of an old man? God says to Daniel, go your way. Go your way till the end. And it seems clear, doesn't it, that to go your way is not the same thing as going your own way. We never get the impression that Daniel endured like 70-plus years weathering storm after national, social, cultural, political storm after storm through self-definition. You know, troubles are coming, Daniel. Just be yourself. Be your true self. You know, there's people with influence who want to feed you to lions, but hey, you know, you can decide for yourself what's right and wrong. No, when the Lord tells Daniel, go your way, it means keep going the way you've been going for the past 70, 80 years. Keep doing what you have done, been doing. And to be clear, you know, what sustained Daniel all those years was something far deeper than a more durable diet. You know, God is not saying, hey, Daniel, just stay with that vegan thing you've had going since high school. You know, the world could come to an end, but you'll live to 150. It was not that. But then what is it? In what sense is Daniel to go his way? What is the way Daniel has gone up till now, and that God would have him continue to go until the end? And how might we be sure that we're going that way? I want to suggest some things. First, in a world of trouble, it is essential to find refuge in the providence of God. I just believe this was so foundational to Daniel's staying power and resilience in a world hostile to his faith. He declares in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, blessed be the name of God. He changes times. He changes seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. God has the right. God has the ability to do what he wills. And this doctrine is powerful. It changes people. It changes people. Listen to how it changed Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar says, I bless the Most High, praised and honor him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. He does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? That's Nebuchadnezzar. The doctrine of God's providence includes the conviction that a Christian is never in the grip of some blind forces such as chance, fate, luck, whatever. All that happens to them is divinely planned in accordance with the eternal love and care and intentionality of a heavenly Father. A friend of ours writes, God has revealed his purposeful sovereignty over good and evil in order to humble human pride, intensify human worship, shatter human hopelessness, and put ballast in the battered boat of human faith, steel in the spine of human courage, gladness in the groans of affliction, and love in the heart that sees no way forward. That pretty well sums up the effect of the doctrine of God's providence in the life of Daniel. I mean, how else do we explain the way of God in raising up a madman like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon to punish the people of Judah for their sins, and then relocate Daniel to Babylon in order to proclaim the glory of God's sovereign grace to Nebuchadnezzar? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. John Piper writes, God is vastly greater and stranger and more glorious and more dreadful and more loving than we realize. Immersing ourselves in the ocean of his providence is meant to help us know him, fear him, trust him, and love him as we ought. And that's what Daniel had been doing since his childhood, apparently immersing himself in the ocean of God's providence, meditating on it, contemplating it, praying it, and when trouble came, finding refuge in it. That truth sustained him for over 90 years. It sustained him as a teen taken from his home. It sustained him as a young man under a wicked politician's administration. It sustained him as he faced the prospect of death for the sake of spiritual convictions. It would sustain him to the last of his God-determined days. And finding refuge in God's providence will tether us to the hope, to hope no matter how dark our days may come. Second thing, in a world of trouble, it's significant that we would keep growing in wisdom and discretion. We keep growing in wisdom and discretion. Daniel had a reputation, right? In whatever circle, whatever cultural group, under whichever geopolitical regime he was granted some influence and authority, first and foremost, he had a reputation for wisdom. And the wisdom that he possessed was not simply the result of life experience. You know, walked through that before, not doing that way. No, it was from God. It was from God. From the time he was just a youth, according to Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired, King Nebuchadnezzar found them, including Daniel, 10 times better. 10 times better than the magicians and the enchanters that were in his kingdom. It was wisdom that served Daniel so well, and it's wisdom that truly set him apart throughout his remarkable life. Of course, he was brilliant. Of course, he had intellectual gifts. Of course, he was courageous and uncompromising in his spiritual devotion. But is it not remarkable that it's not those things that made him indispensable in a world hostile to his moral and spiritual values? It was wisdom. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 says, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. As our experience of COVID has proven, there are plenty of experts in the world, but wisdom is rare. Edward Wilson writes, "We are drowning in information while starving for wisdom." So, come what may, keep growing in wisdom and go that way. Go that way until the end. For according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Here's the third thing. Carrying on in troubling times means that we yield to the authority of God's word. I believe Daniel endured and prospered in a dark world because of wisdom, but that wisdom was a gift from God, cultivated by yielding to the authority of the infallible and authoritative word of God. Where did the conviction come from that he should not defile himself with the king's food? Scriptures. Where did Daniel learn that there's a God in the heavens who reveals mysteries? The scriptures. Where did Daniel learn to pray? Pray the content of Daniel chapter 6. How is he familiar with Jeremiah's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9? It's the scriptures. Friends, as the times are more challenging, we need food this world knows not of. And so will the world. So will the world. God's word is not to be hidden away so that people who might take offense at it can't find it. I think that's what it means in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, where it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." God's word about the future isn't meant to be kept secret. It must be stored away safely for the sake of future generations. And then verse 9, "Then I said, O Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end, to the time of the end." So going Daniel's way means bending the knee to no other authority before bending our knee to the authority of God's word. Here's the fourth thing. Going forward in troubling times means remaining missionally engaged. This is maybe unique to me, but maybe you identify with the temptation in our times, the impulse, I think, to disengage relationally from those with whom we disagree. You ever felt that impulse? So many different perspectives on so many different things. I have a friend with whom I pray regularly, and he told me this last year that his son, his 20-something-year-old son, had threatened to disown him forever if he discovered that his dad's perspective on social justice and BLM and CRT differed from his own. To disagree in a so-called cancel culture, it can be a painful and costly thing. But this very diversity is necessary for the reality of the love of God to be displayed. It doesn't require new birth. It doesn't require regeneration to experience community with people, even spiritual community with people that are easy to like. One of the opportunities of the challenging times in which we live is for the genuineness of the life of God to be displayed. And who could have ever imagined that God, in his providential repositioning of Daniel from Judah to Babylon, God meant it for the conversion of a powerful, crazy man like Nebuchadnezzar? These are not times to pull away from the people who feel like a threat. God is placing us right where we need to be. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, they shall shine like the stars forever and ever." Fifth, in troubling times, it's essential that we cultivate an eternal perspective. Cultivate an eternal perspective. So much of the book of Daniel is concerned with the future, and no matter how gnarly the beast, and no matter how powerful and destructive the next kingdom, no matter how intense the persecution or trouble on the horizon, in the end, God wins. And then there's eternity. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Man, I'm sure there's many times, like when the armies of Babylon had Jerusalem surrounded, or when the Medes had Babylon surrounded, or when the drums of the Persian army were pounding outside the city and the battering rams were sending shockwaves through the walls. Or maybe that night as Daniel lay in this hole in the ground in pitch darkness, and every now and then there'd be this, sending terror up his spine. Isn't it possible that he said to himself in those times, "At least I'm not going to hell. At least I won't spend eternity tormented by shame and contempt." What a promise is Daniel 12, verse 13. "Go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." One last thing. In troubling times, how significant it is, how essential and necessary it is that we keep the cross in sight. And though the cross of Christ is but a shadow in the book of Daniel, I think you still see it. Chapter 12, verse 1, "At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." At what time? At what time will the deliverance come for those whose names are written in the book? At what time will the regular burnt offering be taken away? Well, it's at the time when our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is crucified on a cross as a substitute guilt offering in our place. And so, friends, in sickness and in loss, in injustice and the turbulence that accompanies the rise and fall of kings and kingdoms, keeping our sight fixed on a suffering Savior who endured all that and bled and died to propitiate God's wrath and purchase our pardon, that is the way. That's the way till the end. And so, friends, in this world, you shall have trouble. But be of good cheer. Stay the course. Go your way. Go your way taking refuge in the providence of God. Go your way growing in wisdom. Go your way bending the knee to God's word. Go your way remaining engaged in mission, cultivating an eternal perspective, and keeping your eyes on the cross till the end. For Christ has overcome the world. Go that way till the end. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we have been told it probably at various times of our lives to dare to be a Daniel. That's a much bigger thing than is really possible. But we're so thankful that there is a greater Daniel. The greater Daniel, our Lord Jesus, the Christ, who endured far more than Daniel, and in whom is our eternal hope and security, in whom is forgiveness of sins, in whom our guilt is taken away, in whom a sacrifice has been made. It's an expression of grace upon grace upon grace. And so, Lord, as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, may our fears diminish. May you strengthen us from within with an abundance of His life and grace, that we might go our way till the very end, and you'd be glorified, O God, and we would enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.